on the table. You read it all the time, but you never through. He said, child, that's our roadmap for living. The way that God can talk to me and you. That's the truth you can depend on. The truth that'll never lead you wrong. The word of God that'll never pass away. Truth you can believe in, the truth that'll save you from your sin, from the eldest to the youth. That's the
morning. Good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning, and looking forward to what the Lord's going to do for us this morning. Some that are out, some that had surgery this week and other things, but glad you're here and looking forward to our service this morning. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. God, we love you this morning and so glad that you love us. God, I pray that you might do a work in our hearts and lives this morning. God, that you might bless the reading and preaching and delivery of your word. And God, that you might speak to hearts. God, that you might change minds. You might change direction. You might soften hearts. And God, I pray if there's anybody that does not know you as their personal Savior, not sure about that, God, that they might get saved this morning. And I pray that you might be at the service tonight. And I pray for a good week. But I pray for that you might be with our dear people that are not able to be here, that are watching online, that you might be with them and bless them this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. That's all. Stand, turn to page number 324. Page 324, we'll sing the first, third, and fourth verses of this one this morning. Page 324. My piano player. All right. Page 324. 324. There we go.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross a narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Thank you. You may be seated. Turn back to page number 75.
page number 75, and we'll sing On Jordan's Stormy Banks. We'll sing 1, 3, and 4 of this one also this morning.
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. No chilling winds nor poisonous breath can reach that healthful shore. Sickness and sorrow, pain and death are felt and feared no more. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
On the last,
when shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in His bosom rest? I am bound for the promised land. I'm bound for the promised land. Who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
Well, if you're saved and bound for heaven, say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The only way you can know you're going to heaven is you've been saved, accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Well, glad to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. Last Sunday in July, looking forward to August and the rest of the fall, the winter, Christmas, and everything else. But anyway, several things. Right after service this morning, I need to meet with all those that were going to go to youth conference, all the teens and parents right down here. I had a change in plans. The youth conference was at their max, and so they asked everybody else not to come, and that's a good thing for them, not a good thing for us. But anyway, we're going to do another trip for the teenagers, be gone tomorrow through Thursday, and so if you can pray for us, I appreciate that, and we'll have a meeting right after the service this morning. This next Saturday, bus visitation, Operation Saturation, also the Sportsman Clinic. Men, if you're interested, good time to get together with other good Christian men and shoot some guns and shoot some targets in Hastings, Nebraska. There are some giveaways and stuff. And I asked Brother Goff, I said, I think they're giving away a rifle, right? Shotgun. And I said, just put me in the raffle for that. He says, are you coming? I says, I don't think I can. He says, well, I can't do that. And I'm like, why not? I don't understand. Anyway, so you have to be there to win the shotgun. But anyway, I encourage you to do that if you can. See Brother Glore for all the details and sign up at the back. Then Sunday, August 13th, back to school. Promotion Sunday. Kids are looking so forward to going back to school. Right, kids?
No.
Going back to school. And we will have snow cones that Sunday morning. And then Sunday night, we'll have a goodbye fellowship for our students going. My daughter's going to college, and Nathan's going back to college at Heartland. So our Bible college students, encouraging them, and we'll say goodbye to them. Then Senior Saints, Monday, August 14th. Then Sunday, September 3rd, 4 p.m. Service with popcorn preaching, singing, and a fellowship to follow. The Baptist Men Recharge is the 22nd, 23rd, and then October. Encourage you to put October on your calendar this year. It's going to be a missions month instead of a missions conference, and I've got several already lined up to come. It's going to be a great time, but just encourage you. We've got to reach our world with the gospel, folks, and we have the truth. We have back there, just grab a handful of tracts, give them to people. It has the gospel, has the Bible, the scriptures on the back, and people need to know the truth. There's many out there spreading their false doctrine, but we have the truth based upon the Word of God, so encourage you to reach our world, reach our city, our county, but also reach the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm looking forward to that. And then on the back, Sister Roe did have knee surgery or second surgery this last Thursday. She is at home. And her nurse, Brother Rowe, said she's doing pretty good. So pray for them. And then Ron Hand needs our prayers. He's back in ICU, heart failure, kidney failure, not expected to live. So please remember him in prayer. God can do some great things. His life is in God's hands. And then the rest of these, please remember them. My daughter is got some information. I mean, the cells, for some reason, the cell towers along the Amazon just aren't as like kid here in Wichita, so, but she's been doing pretty good, right? So, praise the Lord. All right, well, let's all stand, have a time of fellowship, then we'll take the offering. Find your place this morning. All right, good to have you in the house of the Lord. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask the Lord to bless this offering. And Brother Glory, will you do that for us, please, sir? Man, you may be seated.
His heart was broken like a sand.
let's stand one more time. Turn to page 274. Page 274 this morning. Come unto me. That's God's invitation. Verse 1, 3, and 4 this morning, page 274.
Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. O ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I alone. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. Come unto me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Stumbling on the mountain, dark with sin and shame, stumbling toward the pit of hell's consuming flame. By the powers of sin, deluded and oppressed, hear the tender shepherd come to me, rest. Come unto me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. On the last, have you by temptation offered, conquered then? As a sense of weakness brought distress within, Christ will sanctify you if you'll claim his best. In the Holy Spirit, he will give you rest. Come unto me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. Come and lowly. Come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy and my burden's light.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Shame without replying, he takes away the sins of the world. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Ruined sinners to reclaim, he takes away sins of the world. Behold him rise, a glorious sun. He takes away the sins of the world. Both lamb and priest, God's holy one, he takes away to die. It is fair.
takes away the sins of the world. For millions hopeless, lost, condemned, he takes away the sins of the world. Through faith we're made alive in him. He takes away the sins of the world. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement can it be? He takes away the sins of the world. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransomed home to bring, then anew this song sing. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. What a Savior. He takes away, Jesus takes away, he takes away the sins of the world.
How God's people said? Amen. Goes right along with the teen choir, His Life for Mine. Folks, Jesus Christ gave his life, shed his blood for you and for me, for our sin, so that we don't have to die and go to hell and pay for our sins forever. Jesus already paid for it, and all you have to do is place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, take your Bibles this morning and turn to Daniel. Last week we preached on My God is Sufficient. Daniel, I think, lived through three different kingdoms, kings. And he was loved and beloved, and of course they made a decree that you could not pray to anybody for 30 days, I believe, or you'd be cast in the lion's den. And Daniel, when he knew it was signed, he knelt and prayed to the God of heaven, and they were watching for him, and they said, hey, he's transgressed the law, we need to throw him into the lion's den. And the king loved Daniel. There's a heathen king, and so when he threw him in, he said, is your God able to deliver you? And you know the story. Daniel said, my God is able. And of course, he came through, and Daniel was not hurt and brought out of the lion's den. But I want to take a look at another passage of Scripture before that. And Daniel had a death warrant out on his life. And we're going to read about Nebuchadnezzar had this dream. And then he got up and he forgot the dream. It was gone from him. And so he brought his soothsayers and the magicians in, and he says, hey guys, I need you to tell me the dream that I had plus the interpretation. That's like asking your wife. I mean, my wife knows basically what I'm thinking, not always. Usually she goes, you want water? And I'm like, no, I wasn't thinking about water. I was thinking about Dr. Pepper, you know. So sometimes she doesn't get it all right. But anyway, the king says, hey, you better tell me, number one, the dream that I had, number two, the interpretation of it. And the magicians and the astrologers were like, what? That's insane. And the king got mad and he said, if you don't, I'm going to cut you in pieces. All the wise men, and that included Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if you hear a death warrant out on your life, Daniel says, wait a minute, what's the deal? And they said, well, the king's mad because he had a dream and it's gone from him, and he wants to know the dream plus the interpretation. And so Daniel said, hang on, time out. You go tell the king, give me a little bit of time, and I know somebody that can give me the interpretation of the dream. And guess who that was? God Almighty. Amen. His God. And so We kind of pick it up in the middle of the story in verse number 24, chapter 2, if you'll stand in reverence and love of God's word. Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 24. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. All the wise men, included Daniel and the three Hebrew children and all the wise men. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath dreamed cannot, here's a question, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers show it unto the king? King, what's, you have all these people and they're supposed to have all this power and can contact the gods and everything else, and can't they tell you what you want to know? And of course, the answer was no, but verse 28, let's read the first phrase together. Ready? But there is a God in heaven. One more time. But there is a God in heaven. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, I'm glad there's a God in heaven. Amen. Hey, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he was in heaven, if there was a God in heaven in Daniel's day, guess what? There's a God in heaven in our day. He's not going anywhere. And he says, that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon the bed are these. God is the revealer of secrets. There is a God in heaven. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come before you this morning. Dear Father, I pray that you might help me. Father, my mind is full of facts and information in the Word of God, but I pray that I might not bring anything out that you do not want brought out this morning. I might just be a messenger, a microphone, an instrument for you to speak your word through this morning. God, please help us. Bind the hands of the devil. Minimize the distractions, dear Father, and I pray that you might help me. I pray for Sister Roe as she's recovering or on hand in a special way. I pray for my daughter Hannah there as they're on the Amazon and ministering there. Keep them safe. Bring them back. But meet with us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So all of you know somebody in your realm that has to know everything. Any of you know a person like that? I mean, you're talking to somebody and they come up and say, what? What was that? Huh? What? I'm like, we weren't talking to you. Well, what were you talking about? It doesn't matter. Well, who was that? You know, I mean, they have to know everything. I mean, you know, they want that knowledge. They want that information. And then there's others that think they know everything. Everybody know who I'm talking about? You know, you ask a question. Hey, I can tell you about that. Hey, I can do that. You know, I know about that. Hey, I did that. And they've done everything, seen everything, been everywhere, and know everything. They're not God, but, you know. But yet, I think that's the first thing that Satan attacked. I see it in the Scriptures is knowledge. Information. Let's go to Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2, look in verse number 15. And the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. He just wasn't in the Garden of Eden just floating around. No, he had a responsibility. But before they sinned, he didn't have to do it sweating and the sweat of his brow and thorns. But he did have responsibility. It says, of every tree thou mayest freely eat. Verse 17, but of the tree of the what? Knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely what? Die. You're going to die. But I think it sparked the interest. Knowledge. Huh. If I eat this fruit, the knowledge of good and evil. And I think Satan, yeah. I never did realize the statement, curiosity killed the cat, until you have a cat. I have two. I'd like to say they're worthless, but I'm preaching this morning, so I won't do that. But if you make a noise or something, pretty soon they're looking around. Or you do under the cover like this, and they're over here and they go. They gotta see their curiosity. They gotta see what's up. They gotta see what's going on. And then they'll find out it's nothing, then they go away and move away. Anyway, but Satan said, curiosity. So in chapter number 3, he tells them, look at verse 5. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. God's trying to keep some knowledge from you. He's hiding something from you, hey? And it's because you're not eating of this fruit. If you eat of this fruit, your eyes will be open and you'll have the knowledge and you'll have things revealed to you that God's trying to keep secret. And so what she said is, she said, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one what? Wise. Wow. God's keeping something from us. God knows something that we don't know. And if we eat of this fruit, we'll know what He knows. We'll be as gods. Wow. Hey, Adam, let's eat of this fruit. Was the fruit an apple? How do you know? Oh, was it a peach? We have no idea what it was. But anyway, but the Bible doesn't tell us. That's hidden. But Adam and Eve said, wow, this tree is good for food, and it's a tree to be desired to make one wise. Wow. Hey, Adam, let's eat of this fruit because we want the knowledge. We want to know everything. We want to be wise. So they ate the fruit that God said don't eat. And because of that, Romans chapter 5, verse number 12, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So now every single human being that's conceived in this world is born a sinner. Yes, you are a sinner coming out of the womb. Yes. Oh, but such a cute little innocent baby, born a sinner. Uh-huh. You know, I didn't have to teach my kids to be... Well, my kids are perfect, so I mean, well, except for the four that I have. No, I didn't have to teach them how to be disobedient, how to be. You just don't have to teach any kid to lie, to steal, to be bad, to cheat. Hey, it's you have to teach them the opposite, folks. Amen. But here, the knowledge. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 29, and verse number 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29. And verse number 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things that are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So based upon this scripture, folks, there are some things that God has not told us. Really? Absolutely. I mean, as I was studying this, I'm thinking, and I ran across this quote. Somebody said, if we found no difficulties in the Bible, we could have written it. Right? Well, I don't understand this passage, Pastor. And then, isn't it? Well, yeah. This was not written by man. It was written by God. And you are not God. And you are not on the same intellectual level with God. Did you realize that God gave us a Bible and wrote down some things in our terms? Where's Philip? Oh, he's helping. If you ever talk to Philip, sometimes Philip and Hannah will be talking and I'm going, what in the world are they talking about? The trigger symbol, and the neurological, and I'm like, huh? What? I mean, I've got degrees. That don't mean I'm smart. But I'm like, God didn't write all that stuff down. He did not write the Bible to his intellect. He wrote it down to where we are. He used terms that we can understand. God created the heaven and the earth. Hey, I can understand that. You can understand that. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. I don't understand creation. God said it, and it happened. Amen. That's what God says. So He wrote it down just like He wanted us to understand. But there are some things that He didn't tell us. And I'm going to preach tonight on the biggest question that everybody says, W-H-Y. Why, Pastor? Why? Why this? Why this? Why this? And if you come tonight, I'll tell you the reason, all right? You have to come back. But God gave us a book. And there are some things that He revealed. Like the fruit. He didn't tell us what the fruit was. We can kind of assume, but we have no idea. There's some other things that God didn't put in here. And you run into these intellectual people that get so upset about, I just don't know this, Pastor. Well, the Bible doesn't specifically say, and they get so bogged down. Well, I've got to know. And I said, there's no way to know unless God put it in here. Hey, sometimes we're just going to have to wait till we get to heaven to find out some things and ask Him. If He didn't put it in the book, if it's in some other book, it could be dead wrong, folks. But the secret things belong unto the Lord. Well, is the Lord really that high above us? Well, look at Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 8. Love this scripture. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now, God's people said, I'm glad I'm not God. I'd be going, boom, boom, boom. You're gone, you're gone, you're gone, you're gone. Oh, you made a mistake? You're out of here. Oh, preacher, you're showing humanity. Yes, I'm human. And when somebody cuts you off and about runs you off the road, you may see amazing grace, but that's not the first thought in my mind. Well, I'm going to go get them. No, but I'm not God and you're not God. All right? Then he says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, go ahead and get some step ladders and ladders and try to make it to heaven this afternoon. So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Amen. Number one, you're not God. And number two, we have a hard time thinking like God because we are not God. Amen. Well, why? Why does God do this? And why does God do this? And why does God allow this? And why does this happen? And why does this? I don't know, but I just know my God is in control, folks. And my God's God. Amen. So I want to look at this morning. Go back to Daniel chapter number 2. How many chapters in the book of Daniel? 5? You got the wrong Bible, brother. You got the condensed version. Daniel has 12 chapters. 9 of those chapters are about dreams, visions, things that will come to pass. It's very prophetic, just like the book of Revelation. And here we're going to see this dream, and it was prophetic at the time, but most of it, 90% of it's already come to pass, folks. But when it was written, it hadn't come to pass. It was prophetic. Now we can look in our history book and find out, hey, my God knew all along, way before it ever happened, God put it in a book called the Bible. Amen. Hey, and it has come to pass. Hey, and the rest of the 10%, hey, it's coming, folks. It's coming, it's coming. I'm excited about that fourth kingdom. Amen. Or the fifth kingdom. And so I want to look at this morning. So God gave this vision to Nebuchadnezzar. It was gone from him. He got up the next day or whenever, and he says, man, I had a dream, and man, I had an image, and I'm thinking, but I cannot remember it. And man, I've got to know. So he brought these guys in, and finally, we're going to go back, but I'll give you the middle part. Daniel said, okay, the God of heaven, verse 28, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. Hey, folks, my God knows the beginning from the end. My God knew when I would be born. God already knows my last day, my last breath, what time it is, what day it is, what month it is, what year it is. Hey, my God already knows, and He knows your beginning and your ending. Amen? That's the kind of God I serve. But He said down in verse number 29, "As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What shall come to pass hereafter?" God already knows what's going to take place for all eternity. And He says, "And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass." So He gives us a dream, and I'm going to go down all of it. But He says, "But as for me, the secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that they shall know the interpretation to the king, that thou mightest know the thoughts of thine heart." Then starts verse 31. He tells about this dream. He says, "You saw a great image, whose brightness was excellent, and it stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image head was of fine gold, his breasts and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet iron and clay." And He says, "Thou sawest that the stone was cut out without hands, that smote the image upon the feet of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces." So down in verse number 36, this is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. Listen to this kingdom. "And whatsoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them." What's that little word? All. "Thou art this head of gold." Nebuchadnezzar, you're the King Tut right now. You rule and reign the known world. This was Babylon, 605 BC. Nebuchadnezzar was the reigning hierarchy, the ruler, the boss, the king, the ruler of the known world. God had given him that. But read the next verse. It says, "And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And a fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as the iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise." And then it says in verse 44, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed." Amen! That's the fifth kingdom. So the four kingdoms. He said, "You, Nebuchadnezzar, you're ruler over Babylon. You rule over the entire known world." But I think it was 539 BC, the Medes and the Persians took over. Darius and Cyrus, they ruled the known world. Then after them, in 334 BC, anybody know their history? Alexander the Great. And they said about him, his reign changed the face of Europe and Asia forever. He ruled the known world. How about after him? Who's the fourth one? Romans. During Jesus' days, Rome was in power. Rome had the jurisdiction. So there's the four. But there's coming another one, folks. That's already taken place. You can get your history books. You can read about the Babylon. You can read about the Persians and the Medes. You can read about Alexander the Great in Greece. You can read about Rome. And you pick up your Bible, you can read about the fifth one. Amen? I like this one because it's Jesus Christ coming back and setting up His kingdom, and He also will rule and reign. But there's a difference between Him and everybody else. It doesn't say after you. After your kingdom, no. Jesus will set up His kingdom that shall never be destroyed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, my God's coming back. Hey, and I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I know that God. I'm glad He's in my heart. I'm glad that when He comes back, I get to be part of his kingdom. Amen? Let's read it. Verse 44. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. Now listen to this. And shall stand how long? Forever. Amen. Don't you want to be a part of something like that? Oh, I want to be behind Alexander the Great. He's dead and gone. I want to be part of the Medes and Persians. Sirius and Darius, they're dead and gone. Well, I want to be part of Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. And I want to be a part of Rome and the Roman. Hey, they're dead and gone. There comes a fourth. Amen. And it says in verse 45, for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, and that it breaketh in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof, what's the last word? Don't you love that word? Sure. Amen? Sure. Gonna come to pass. So, just five thoughts this morning from this. And there's a lot of preaching in there that we won't do, but we'll get you out before two. So don't get, if you have a roast, it'll be okay. It's a little tough. It'll be okay. No, number one, God knows the beginning from the end. Revelation 1:8 says that He is the one that was, that is, that always shall be. My God. Hebrews said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. My God's not going to change. My God is God. Look in verse number 10. Of course, if you read chapter 2, verses 1 through down in verse 13, like I said, the king had this dream, and it went from him, so he brought all these guys in, and he said, tell me this dream and the interpretation. And basically, in verse number 9, but if you will not make known unto me the dream, but there is one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me. And it says, verse 10, the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that ask such things at any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. King, they basically said, King, you're nuts. They just say that in words. You're nuts. There's nobody that can tell you your dream and the interpretation. I can't tell you your thoughts. Verse number 11. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is no other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. Who's that? That's my God. That's God the Father. No man has seen God at any time. Hey, that's that God. He knows everything. He sees everything. He's everywhere present at the same time, except for Oklahoma. But He's everywhere at the same time. Sorry, Miss Judy. I have to give Miss Judy a hard time because she moved to Kansas from Oklahoma, and we're glad you're here. But anyway, well, we're glad. Anyway, so God's everywhere at the same time. And God knows. There is a God in heaven. Verse 27, and Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show it unto the king? Hey, king, go talk to your men. But then Daniel makes the statement, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. And maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. 9 chapters out of 12 chapters of Daniel. What's going to take place in the future? Do you have anything like that? God was just like those people better than us. He told them what was going to take place. Do you have anything that tells you what's going to take place in the future? Yeah. Some of you are looking like, really, preacher? This book is full of what's going to take place tomorrow. the next day for all eternity, where I'm going to be for all eternity. Amen. The Bible, God's revealed it to us, folks. Well, I don't think it's not fair for God to tell us what kind of fruit and tell us where Cain and Abel got their wives and all these. Hey, the secret things belong unto the Lord, but He reveals things to us for our profit and for our good and for our edification, that we can live by them, folks. You don't need any more information than right here. I know, I went to college. And it seemed like all the married folks. In my day, you didn't have backpacks. We just stuck our books under our bag and walked to class. Now you got to have a backpack. But in the day that I went, you could tell a married student because he had a suit on and had a briefcase. So us single guys would not carry briefcase because we were not that educated. We were not going to be theologians. And after class, between classes, I went back to my room, laid on my bed, closed my eyes, and prayed and meditated on the Lord. I went to sleep. The married students would go to the snack shop and discuss, could God make a rock big enough that he couldn't pick it up? How many angels can you fit on a head of a pin? What other questions? Right? Am I right or wrong? Well, pretty close. But there is a God in heaven. Amen. So God knows the beginning from the end. Number two, what did Daniel do for God to reveal him, reveal that interpretation to him? What did he do? Well, preacher, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. I think I should do this. Well, have you prayed about it? Pray about it? Amen. No? I mean, I feel like I think I ought to. When people come to me and tell me they're going to do something, they say, well, here's what the Lord's told me to do. I'm like, why didn't you come before me when you're thinking about it and just ask me to pray with you? You know, I don't know exactly what the Lord's will for your life is. Talking to Brother Havner yesterday, and when I was here, I think about, been here about not very long, and he came to me and he said, Pastor, there's a chance for me. I work for Spirit and Boeing, and they're selling out. It's going to be Spirit, but I have a chance to move to Washington and to move the family up there and to work for Boeing up there. And I said, you know, Brother Havner, I'll pray with you about it. I don't want you to go as a pastor, but I'll pray with you that God will make it clear to you. Your pastor doesn't know everything. Amen. I don't. And I can't say, you need to do this, and you need to. I mean, there are some things that I can tell you need to do and not to do. But if you would just allow me to pray with you about it, Pastor, here's something that we're thinking about doing. Would you pray? Sure, I'll do that. Because I know there's a God that answers prayer. Look here in verse number 14. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. They're out trying to find the wise men to kill them. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's, why is the decree so hasty from the king? And then he made known, and he said, all right, just give me some time, and I will show the king the interpretation. Verse 17, then, after he made that statement, then Daniel went to his house, and made the thing known to Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellow servants should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Amen. And look, verse 23, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. Oh, is the prayer chain really biblical, preacher? I mean, when people call and say, will you pray about this? Absolutely. Absolutely. God hears and answers prayers, folks. I know the God of heaven. Sometimes God says no. You know, we think that God doesn't answer prayer because God doesn't always say yes. But a parent's word is no. A grandparent's word is yes.
Totally different. I don't understand. Same people. Have same children. But yet when you get a grandchild, Grandpa, can I have a group? Can I have two Mountain Dews? Sure. And here's some ice cream and candy to go with it. And when you were a kid, your parents said, you're going to drink water for the rest of your life. The same person says, here's another Dr. Pepper. Here's another Mountain Dew. Have some ice cream. Have some candy. Have some cotton candy. I don't understand. That wasn't in my notes. That's right. So I'm still, you're going to drink water for the rest of your life. Amen. Hush up. All right. God does hear and answer prayer. Isn't that amazing? God gave to Daniel what the king dreamed and the interpretation. But you know, Daniel realized in verse number 30, but as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living. But for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, that thou mightest know the thoughts of thine heart. Daniel said, I'm not Mr. Know-it-all and Mr. Intelligence, and I've known this because of me. I know it just because I know the God of heaven. He made known. And the Bible says in James 1, if any man lack wisdom, let him go to WSU and get it, right? If any man lack wisdom, let him go to the library and get Wisdom for Dummies and read it through. Amen? No. Read your Bible. Ask God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God's no respecter of persons. God answers prayer. Look in Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Look at this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. My Bible says here, Matthew 6, 8, Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask Him. Let me ask you a question. So what's God waiting on? Pretty smart. You, very good. See, the smart people sit in the auditorium. What's He waiting on? As you as a parent can help your kids. Sometimes you know the answer. Sometimes you know how to fix it. But they're in there and they're going to do it their way. Could I help you? It's mine. I'm going to do it. No, let me do it. Okay. All right. Fine. Fine. Are you sure? No, leave it alone. I'll do it. I could tell you that you were going to do it that way if you would just ask for help. Why don't we pray? Why don't we ask God? Is it laziness? Is it... I'm pointing me to. Not just pointing at you. We all need to ask God more. God's waiting on us. God already knows the answer. He's just waiting on us. And look down here in verse 21. Chapter 2, verse 21. I'll point this out real quick. Chapter 2, verse 21. It says... this is God. Verse 20. Blessed be the God of forever. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are His, and He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. My God, listen to this. He giveth wisdom unto the who, and knowledge to them that know what. Does that not make sense to you? I mean, if you're going to give wisdom, give it to some idiot, right? Some no-brainer. But I'm like, why does He give wisdom unto the wise? Same in the New Testament when He gave the talents. He took it from the one that didn't have it and He gave it to the one that had what? The most. I think God's an investor. I think many times we sit and say, all right, God, just pour it on me. Come on. I'm ready. And God says, no, I'll go over here. This guy's already working. He's struggling. He's in knee deep. He's doing what? I'll give him more. I think God's investor. Are we good investments? Or do you just we want God to do everything for us? I see that God gives to the wise already and understanding. He does that. And maybe we need to be more busy for Him. Fourthly, God loves and cares for us. It's a decree from the king. I'm going to slay all. Chapter 2, verse 13, and the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Don't you think you have a God in heaven that cares about you? A God in heaven that loves you? The God in heaven does love you. The God in heaven does care about you. He cared about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, they served him. What about the astrologers, all those other people? God could have said, all right, save those, but then kill all the others. No. Look in verse number 24. Then Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Were all those Hebrews? Were them some of those sorcerers? Probably. Were some of those probably the magicians? Mm-hmm. But God said, destroy them not. God does love you. God does care about you. There was a situation recently where a young lady had some kids smaller, and their electricity was due, and the gas was due, and somebody came up in a mall and gave this lady $500. God told me to give you this. And she said, that's what we needed to turn our gas back on so we can feed the kids. Do you think that God does not notice the little kids? Seriously. There's all these little kids. And God didn't say and prick somebody's heart, hey, why don't you help that lady out? That's my God. That's my God, folks. He sees you. He understands you. He loves you. He cares about you. He wants you to go to heaven. And the last thing is, we ought to worship the true and living God. After the king got the interpretation, verse 46, then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer oblation and sweet odors unto him. Then the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Then the king made Darius a great man and gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. I'm telling you what, if you know the God of heaven in your heart, you're saved. You serve Him with all your heart. I'm telling you, we ought to love the Lord. We ought to serve the Lord. That's what Daniel did. There is a God of heaven. And I'm going to pray and ask for His help. And I'm going to get my friends together and we're going to pray. And God, there's nothing in us, but God, if you could reveal unto us the interpretation and the dream. And God did that. And God loves us. How do you know, preacher? Because God's given us a book. And it's revealed to us what's going to take place in the future. I know a lot of people, I ain't going to listen to that Bible. Oh, that's fairy tales. That's archaic. It's not true. Hey, God loves us enough. He gave us a Bible that you can understand, that you can read, and that you can understand that there's a heaven and that there's a hell. And you have a choice. You're born a sinner. And you have a choice to go to heaven or hell. And he could have said, well, you just figured it out yourself. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He made it very clear. All I have to do is accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, place my faith and trust in Him, ask Him to save me and forgive me of my sins, and He will save my soul. That's That's how much He loves us. He doesn't want to see us destroyed. He doesn't want to see us spend eternity in hell. So He gave us a book and preachers and soul winners and tracts and says, hey, believe the Word of God. Believe that I am the way, the truth, the life. Trust in Me and you can go to heaven forever. If you're not saved this morning, I challenge you to get saved. If you are saved, you ought to rejoice. And because you're saved, you ought to take a handful of tracts and everybody that you see, the one that says, how to get to heaven from Kansas. Say, do you know how to get to heaven from Kansas? Would you please read that? I know you don't always have time to sit down and lay it all out, but just give them that and say, hey, Jesus loves you. Jesus wants you to go to heaven. Please read this. Understand that. Jesus loves you. Hey, we love you because He gave us a book and told us He loves us so much, folks. And He spared Daniel and the wise men, all the wise men of the province. But God's willing to save whosoever will in this whole earth. What about the really bad people? There are no really, really bad people. Folks, you're a sinner, I'm a sinner. It only takes one lie to be a liar. We're all sinners. We're either sinners saved by grace or we're sinners still lost and on our way to hell. Challenge you this morning. There is a God in heaven. He reveals secrets. He answers prayers. He loves us. He wants us to serve Him. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come before You this morning. Dear Father, I thank You so much for the Word of God, for giving us some things about the future. God, you wrote down in the book of Daniel, 9 chapters out of 12, what was going to take place. God, we can take our history book today and read that those things did come to pass, that there was 4 kingdoms, and they all have come and gone. And the next kingdom will come and will rule and reign forever and ever. And that's when You come back with the saved to set up Your kingdom. God, I pray this morning that if there's someone that does not know You as their personal Savior, they've never been saved, they've never knelt and knew they were a sinner and never realized that You died for their sins to save their soul, and they've never asked You to come in their heart, forgive them their sin, and save their soul, I pray they might do that this morning. God, if we are saved, God, please help us to be a witness and a testimony to this lost and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand this morning? Panda begins to play, or Nathan begins to sing. I don't know how God has spoken to your heart. Would you come this morning? If you're not saved, please don't leave lost. Well, I don't understand it all. Just come and we'll show you some scriptures how you can accept Christ as your personal Savior. And you can go away with the God of heaven in your heart. Would you come as Brother Nathan sings this morning?
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood
was shed for me.
But there is a God in heaven.
Do you know that God?
And that
it's not Muhammad, it's not Buddha, not Confucius.
Me come
it's not a church, not a religion, not a denomination.
Of God,
it's not being good,
come,
it's not being baptized, not
having
the right haircut. It's accepting Jesus Christ as your
just
personal Savior.
As I am,
trusting in Him alone to take you to heaven. Everything else we do is done because we are saved.
My soul of one dark blood. To Thee, whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
Don't wait. God loves you.
Just as I am.
The wicked king wanted to destroy all the wise men.
Many a doubt.
He reveals secrets. He knows the beginning from the end.
Within,
all I did was pray. Me and my companions got on our knees and prayed to the God of heaven.
God
answered their prayers.
I come. I come.
You see another verse this morning. Would you come?
Says I
preach, I don't understand all about salvation. It's okay.
God's receive.
Come and let us show you from the scriptures.
Will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
Be seated quietly and reverently as these are still here at the altar. You can be seated.
All God's people said, appreciate you being in the Lord's house. I'm glad I serve the God of heaven. Amen. Well, thank you for coming this morning, and I hope you have a good week. I hope you'll pray for our teenagers who are not able to go to the conference there, but we're going to go to take another trip. And so if you're, we're going to go to the Yukon and come right down here right after prayer. I'm going to meet with you just for about 5 minutes. But I hope you'll be back in God's house. And second part of today's message, and you'll get to know why. Amen? How many of you want to know why? So do I. We'll preach about that tonight. And youth choir practice at 5, ladies practice at 5:30, and then back in God's house, Wednesday night, and then Friday, if you want to go to the Sportsman's Club, great opportunity, folks, for you men. Go shoot some guns with good Christian men. And opportunity to win a shotgun and other, I think, door prizes and stuff. But see Brother Glore for all the details. So let's all stand, and we'll have a word of prayer. And then please, young people, come right down here in about 5 minutes. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to dismiss us. And Brother Nathan, will you do that for us, please, sir?